It's time to raise the roof for our first regular season podcast of 2024. Welcome back, everyone, to this latest episode of Raise the Roof. We have a really, really exciting podcast coming for you today with a big special guest who we've had on before, but, you know, always happy to have him on again, and we'll be introducing him in just a second. I'm your host, Alex Murphy. With me, as always, is my co-host, Evan Gibson. Our other co-host, Evan Lynch, is not here, but he'll be on a podcast coming up throughout the rest of the year. But Gibby, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Alex, today at the game, I got my first ball in 5 years from Randy Rosarena. He totally threw it over me, but it came back. And when life gives you lemons, you grab them off the ground. And that's exactly what I did.
I think that we'll just count that as the saying. Yeah.
So that's one over like 5 years.
There we
going
go.
To like 10 plus games a year. And that's crazy, dude.
There we go. Well, hey, you got a ball, which is the most
important.
We
got a ball.
Yeah. So any further ado, let's introduce our special guest, a now proud member, I guess, second year now full time with Rays Radio alongside Andy Fried. He has been previous to that was the host of pre and post games on Rays Radio, and also proud alum of Rutgers University, which. I want to make sure that we include the Big Ten connections in here as much as possible. But Neil Solons, Neil, thanks so much for coming on. How you doing?
Good. How are you? I appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Always nice to have you on. I think we're doing great. I'm sure from the Rutgers basketball side of things, I'm sure you're excited about what's to come with the signing class they got going on.
Excited about next year. A little disappointed with this year, but if we can exchange one tough year for a really, really good one, I'll take it.
Yeah, that's how I'm feeling right now about Maryland. So we're in the same boat. But yeah, again, thanks so much for coming on. And, you know, it's a perfect time to have you on. The Rays just finished up their first homestand of the season. Today, they unfortunately lost 4-1 to the Rangers, ended up losing 2 out of 3 to the Rangers and split a series, four-game set with the Blue Jays to start the year. But, Neil, I wanted to get your thoughts about what you've seen so far from the Rays. I know that this isn't the team that we're going to be seeing once, you know, August and September rolls around. But I guess just your early impressions of the team so far, what do you think about them?
Well, I mean, I try not to make too much of 1 week. You know, for me, it's still a small sample size. And I kind of thought that with the injuries to Josh Lowe, to Jonathan Aranda, to Taylor Walls, to Taj Bradley, to Johnny DeLuca, that, you know, it was going to be a team that probably would start in some fits and spurts. And that's probably how you can describe the first week. I think this group's best baseball is ahead of them. I don't think what I saw changes probably any feeling I had about the potential outlook for this year. You know, if the team had played great and went 3-4, I'd be concerned. But if they just played so-so and went 3-4, you know, and didn't play their best baseball, that tells me if they did play really, really well, they probably would be in a much better spot. So, you know, I'm just curious to see how this group evolves over the course of the year. But, you know, I looked at it as a playoff team to start the year, if healthy, and I still see it as a playoff team if healthy.
Mm-hmm. Gibby, I know you were able to go to the game today, and today's game was a really, really good, I think, look into the rest of the season, hopefully, especially because of what Aaron Civale was able to do on the mound, his second straight quality start to begin the season. From what you saw today, first off, how was the crowd? Because I know it was like about 19K or so.
Yeah, it was actually, I went to Sunday too.
Okay.
It was about this, they were about the same, honestly. I saw the same amount of fans. So that's pretty cool for like at least a Wednesday. I was kind of drawn back. There wasn't that many people there on Easter, but, you know, Easter, whatever. But minus the crowd, the teams came out. They're pretty good. Or the Rays have been started their campaign, you know. I think a lot of people compare it to kind of like the last season. And obviously you have a great start last season and we're not having that same great start, but it's not the same teams. These are two playoff caliber teams. One team just won the World Series. So it's actually, I actually look at it as a positive because, I mean, the last playoff series we played against the Rangers, it did not go over too well. And getting some runs, some production in, and staying competitive with the Rangers. I mean, Eflin pitched a dime today. Absolutely great.
Yesterday, Civale pitched.
Sorry, Civale today. Oh, my God. Civale. Savali pitched a dime. He's had two quality starts in a row. Eflin's last start was a little shaky. He comes back. He's able to shut the door and give us a win yesterday. So I'm really confident about the pitching. There's been some diciness on defense. I mean, I think Caballero's been pretty good, but today he got about three plays to him in a row where, I don't know, he just kind of, he lost track of the ball. The ball slips out of his hand. He actually got it out on the one, which I thought was a drop, but it wasn't. He actually, they counted it as a catch there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, overall, pretty quality. Just like Neil said, I mean, like a lot of people, they're having their overreactions on Twitter. I try not to look at Twitter this early in the season because people are like, Rays eliminated from playoff contention already. Like, it's ridiculous. I'm with you. I'm with you there, Neil.
When I looked at, one number that stood out to me when I look back at last year was the Rays were 48-44 against teams that had winning records and 51-19 against teams with less than 500 records. Mm-hmm. Well, 3-4 is pretty much around, or 4-3 would be pretty much around the same. Yep. Against those teams with winning records. And I expect, yep, Toronto and Houston will be in that same vein by the end of the year. I expect they're going to be playoff contenders. And it's, you know, if the Rays are going to go 51-19 against the non-contenders or the sub 500 teams, then they're going to have a good year. And that's kind of how I look at the big picture from the first week in the season. I was encouraged by Savali and even Eflin. It was one bad inning that he had. He gave up, yep, one hit in five innings on opening day. And kind of fatigued, yeah, in the sixth. Savali's had two good starts. Littell's had a good start. Thought Pepiot had nerves in the first inning and then settled down after that. You know, and I think there were probably some. And the other thing that was encouraging today was Sean Armstrong was kind of back to himself after a couple of tough outings. And for most relievers, those first couple outings out of spring training, it's kind of hit and miss just because you haven't pitched under the same duress. There's not stress. You're told, hey, you're pitching the fifth inning or the sixth inning on this day in spring training, you know, and you're just getting your work in. Mm-hmm. This is different. And I saw Sean settle in. I thought Pochet settled in the day before that. I think Jason Adams looked good. Fairbanks looked fine. So I think the bullpen will be fine once they settle down.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point that you made about the record and how everything's split. Because I know, like, I talk with my dad about it all the time, and he's like, as long as you go about 500 against the teams, you know, that are above 500, the teams that you're, you know, supposed to be tough against, and you dominate against the teams, you know, win 2/3 of the games against the teams that you're supposed to beat, then, you know, that's the recipe for success. And it was clearly the recipe for success last year. So, yeah, but no, I definitely agree on both ends there, but you know, this is, I guess I would have liked to see them win the series against the Rangers. I know that there were a lot of winnable moments in both losses that they had. You know, it just kind of came down to you just unable to make the right moves at the right time. And, you know, the Rangers made, you know, were able to do that. But overall, I mean, I think that, again, this is not the team that we're supposed to see towards the end of the year. And they were still competitive. I mean, Caballero's home run or flyout today was what, like 2-3 feet away from being a home run and it being a tie game in the ninth inning?
Yeah, I was screaming at that ball, Alex. I was screaming at it.
Yeah, so it definitely screaming. Game of inches there. But yeah, I mean, going to the pitching specifically, you know, I wanted to talk about Savali just because of, you know, him coming into this team after the trade deadline last year and showing some, I think it was probably a lot of tweaking. But also, you know, there were some struggles here and there. And now out of the gate, he seems like he's a lot more comfortable. Neil, do you think that it's, you know, having Kyle Snyder for an entire offseason? I mean, is that really kind of the key to success there?
I think the human aspect of this is often understated. I don't mm-hmm. think most people just realize how difficult it is to go from one organization your entire life and then just pick up one day and go to another place in the yeah. middle of a playoff race. I think having a full offseason to process, it's pretty clear just in the limited conversations I've had with Aaron and the group sessions he's done with local media that he definitely seems much more comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, he wears the PitchCom device, so he calls his own game and in essence, in the first couple of outings, he's looked very comfortable. I think it probably helped just from a further comfort standpoint to have Kyle Snyder does this in the offseason. He goes and visits most of the key pitchers in their home or in their home area. And he went out to Boston, and Dom Keegan, who's one of the Rays catching prospects, lives up there and caught him. And, you know, they were able to share a meal. And I think part of that is just building a relationship. Mm. You know, the other piece of this is if you look back at Aaron Civale's numbers with the Rays, the ERA was high, but everything else was favorable. Mm. You know, the strikeouts were high, the walks were low, and there was a lot of batting average and ball in play that, you know, I chatted with Kyle Snyder a couple times. There was a feeling that if some things even out during the course of this regular season, the numbers are going to show up really well. And, you know, so far so good. I mean, he's hitting probably about 2/3 first pitch strikes. If he continues to do that, you know, that's a recipe for success. And I think it's also just learning, you know, with the Rays. I think they'll probably mix his pitches a little different than he did at times last year. But I think the thing that probably stands out in the first two starts is he's been efficient. You know, he's gone six innings back-to-back starts. You know, yeah. If he gives that kind of quality throughout the course of the year, you know, they're going to win a lot more than they lose when he's on the mound.
Yeah. And is that same sort of sentiment there to an extent for Pepio? Because I know he's in a different circumstance where he's, you know, he's now having basically the full season to be able to kind of get comfortable with it instead of half a year. So are you kind of expecting the same sort of thing where he'll get comfortable as the year kind of progresses?
Yeah, I try not to judge the first inning of, you know, a first start. I could understand, especially on your home turf, being a little bit nervous. You know, I also don't want to judge too much. His next start is going to be a Coors Field. And regardless of how Colorado's playing, that's not an easy place to pitch in.
Yep.
But I think over time, the stuff there plays. I mean, you look at the mid-90s fastball, a really good changeup, the ability to throw a couple of different breaking balls. As long as he's throwing, and this goes for all the Rays, as long as they're consistently throwing 60%+ first pitch strikes, he's going to have success. And, you know, I look for this group, just the big thing is, you know, overall health, because I think there certainly are some reasonably good options throughout the roster, you know, in terms of pitching depth that they've acquired and guys that are going to get back later. And it's just a matter of, you know, being able to keep this core intact for as long as possible while they wait for some further reinforcements.
Mm. Gibby, I wanted to talk with you and then we can go to Neil about the offense. How did you kind of, because you've been to two games so far and I'm sure you've watched plenty of them on TV, but how are you feeling about how the current offense is looking? Because again, this is not going to be the same offense that we're going to be seeing in a couple months.
I mean, obviously it's early in the season, so the numbers, you can't really like look at the numbers right now. I mean, like some guys have like a 0.91 like average right now, so you can't really take that much into account. I think some bats are getting off to a slow start, obviously. That's what that kind of shows. But there's enough offense in the mix in between to kind of counteract it. And some guys are producing early in the year. Randy, he's had some good days. He's had some bad days where he goes 0-for-3, too. And Yandy's had some good days. Good day today, I think. So, yeah, I mean, the offense, it's producing, but, you know, it's going to take some more time. Some guys like Caballero are still finding their way. Ahmed Rosario, I love watching his at-bats because I feel like he just – and Richie Palacios, too. He had a great at-bat in, like, the ninth inning today when we were trying to get some runners home.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's just been – it's been like a nonstop like hot and cold with these guys sometimes. So I'm excited to see them get on the road trip, kind of find themselves, you know, and maybe play spoiler at these the Rockies home.
Yeah.
It's the Rockies next, right? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Neil, how are you feeling about the offense so far?
I think the group overall this year will be fine. I think they'll score runs. I mean, they scored the third most runs in the sport last year.
Yep.
And while there are some different names, I think the core remains intact. And again, I try not to get hung up on too much because I also know the Blue Jays starting pitching was among the best in the American League last year. I think Seattle was the only team that was more productive in terms of starting pitching. You run into Nathan Eovaldi, who's had a lot of success against the Rays. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Texas has a good staff too. And Dunning has always pitched well against the Rays and mm-hmm. certainly did in this outing. I think, you know, one of the things that I hope to see over time is just that left-right balance that's missing because of the injuries to Lowe and Aranda. You know, you would have seen much more of a balanced lineup with three or four left-handers in the lineup. I think that will help over time too. You know, I think actually for me, the quality of the at-bats from Rosario, Palacios and Caballero have stood out. You know, I think Rosario through his first 19 plate appearances hasn't struck out a single time and has made a fair amount of hard contact. Palacios has walked more than he has struck out. And I've liked just the overall headiness of Cabby to do whatever it takes to win. You know, he's got three steals, and the fourth was one where the only time he was thrown out was originally ruled safe and then upheld on a review, or where I think it was Biggio who made a really good on tag on opening day on a like an in-between hop and made a tag on the back of the leg or something like that. You know, he bunted for the base hit that led to the little brouhaha, but I thought it was just smart baseball. Yeah. You know, bunting for a base hit with a 39-year-old third baseman who's playing back and you're trying to get a run to give your guys more insurance. His baseball IQ, his understanding of the game has been really good. And the quality of at-bats of Palacios and Rosario have been the same. And I think, you know, that kind of stuff trickles down. And, you know, last year was probably the only time I can ever remember seeing 13 guys hot at the same time on the same roster. Forget like the first 2 weeks of the season. It was like the first month where everybody was hot.
Yeah.
And that just doesn't normally happen
at
any point in the year. So, you know, I expect there are going to be times where three, four guys are carrying the group. Sometimes you'll have six guys hot, sometimes two, and a bunch of guys who are, you know, kind of grinding their way through. And, you know, you just got to find your way to score runs with whatever you have on that day.
Yeah, I was really impressed with the bunt from Cabby, only because of the fact that I was like, it's two outs. Why the hell is he doing that? And then he does it, and it works to perfection. He's able to get able to get to third is an understatement because he ends up getting tagged out at third. But he's, you know, the play was really, really aggressive. And that just kind of opened my eyes to him. Because again, unfortunately, I don't really watch a lot of Seattle Mariners baseball, which I'm sure is the case for a lot of people on the East Coast just because of time's sake. But I was really, really impressed with that play. And there's definitely, it seems like there's a lot of guys, young guys, or I guess just new guys to the roster who, you know, hopefully will have an impact on this team moving forward. I know, I know the Rays had brought up, or I guess Austin Shenton had made the opening day roster. And I feel like that's more of you probably have better insight to it. But I feel like that's probably more of just like a wait and see type thing, just because, you know, this is his first opening day roster. This is his first time making a major league roster, and he's just kind of feeling his way through.
Most guys, it's going to, you know, it. I think Joe Maddon used to talk about Major League Baseball players being at five stages, you know, and getting guys in stages three and five is what you want. You know, he always said stage one is, happy to be here. Then stage two, you're in survival mode. And then three is believe you belong. Four is you want to make as much money as possible. And five is all I want to do is win. And when all guys are in believe you belong and all I want to do is win, you have a lot of success. And that's, I think, part of the reason that the Rays have been to five straight playoffs is they have a lot of guys who fit that mode. And the culture has been, you know, very, very similar but different under Kevin Cash, because it gives guys an opportunity to be themselves and to perform. And that's a credit to Kevin and you know, the baseball operations folks, the entire staff. I mean, it's the way they work things. So, I think it's. I think the challenge for any player, whether it's Austin, whether it's Curtis Mead, whether it's any young player, is most of those guys, they come up here now, they're not playing every day. And they played every single day in the minor leagues, or at least played five out of six games or six out of seven. I think probably the biggest adjustment is, how do I keep my swing in order when I'm playing twice a week, when I'm playing once a week, when I'm playing three times a week? And it's always interesting just to see how guys adjust to that. And, you know, I think one guy they can learn a lot from is probably Harold Ramirez on this roster, because Harold, sometimes he's playing 6 days a week, sometimes he's playing twice just against lefties. You know, I think had Josh Lowe and Jonathan Aranda been healthy, you probably would have seen Harold play a little bit less. But now he's playing predominantly against most pitchers, and his swing is so short and his two strike approach is so good that I think, you know, a lot of guys can hopefully take away a lot, especially as a young player.
Mm-hmm. Now I wanted to, this is going to be less of a baseball thing and more of just a Trop thing. A lot of things have been going viral this year already within the first week of the season about stuff going on at the Trop. Neil, most notably, I'm sure that you've seen it, everything going on with like the mini pretzel bite things inside of the glove. I don't know what I think people told us where it was located, but I forget where.
It's out the Budweiser porch, which I found out after the game. So I didn't get them.
I mean, Gibby, I mean, what are your thoughts about like the presentation of things, you know, about food offerings, the drinks? I know that there was that like Devil Rays cup or whatever it is.
I have that cup. I mean, the beer was like $18, but you know, I get the shiny cup too, so that's pretty good. Yeah, I mean, it all looks pretty good. I think the Rays they do a good job. I think the Trop is vastly underrated. I mean, you go to a lot of other places, the food options are not great at all, not at all. So the Trop kind of has that edge over a lot of other places that I won't mention.
I think the ballpark in itself looks as good as it's looked.
Yeah, exactly.
I love the way the turf looks with the mowed grass look with the new turf. I think it's certainly an adjustment for the players, because it is playing a little bit slower than it used to. And I think, you know, you had mentioned a player or two that the cabbie had difficulty with. I think for all the infielders, they're having to adjust to faster turf when they've played here before to the turf being a little slower, at least for now. It may, you know, as the season progresses, it may start to play a little faster. We'll kind of wait and see on that. I think like the adjustments with the new sponsors and the decks.
The new deck.
Just the color scheme. It's just a lot brighter and exciting feel. And the Rays have always done a terrific job with local food products and their merchandise overall. The Bay Republic team store is probably as about as diverse as any you're going to find. So, obviously I'm sitting in the same seat during nine innings, so I don't get it out as much and get to see, but, you know, I know what is being offered now compared to what was. And I think every year to me is an upgrade.
Mm. Have you tried the pretzel bites? I am curious to ask.
I didn't get them the first homestand. Last year we did. I know we did have the, you know, they had the unique pretzel hot dogs that they created, and I had those, and those were awesome. So I can tell you from firsthand experience that those are really good. I was excited because my wife and Andy's are both have celiac, and they created an entirely gluten-free stand.
Oh, that's awesome. Year,
which, you know, I thought was also, you know, I think the Rays are always great about being a really inclusive ballpark where everyone feels comfortable and there's something for everyone. You know, they've got, I think it was well documented, Harold Ramirez has a son who's autistic, and there's already, and for several years, there's been a sensory room there, which his son Elian has gone to, and I think it's drawn raves, and a lot of teams have copied that idea, I think rightfully so. But I think one of the things that there's closed captioning on the video board too, which I think, you know, is a plus as well. I think every year there's something additional that they've done. They've added the fireworks now after the home runs that are hit, which I thought was, almost like this little spark fireworks, you know, out in center field. That was pretty cool too. So I think every little touch that they seem to add, that has been thoughtfully planned out and just kind of adds to the overall presentation, at least from where I sit.
Yeah, for sure. Another thing, because Gibby's wearing the new BP hat, it seems like more and more of the Rays have been, I guess, realizing the effectiveness of what the OG Double Rays was. And I feel like they're leaning into that more with more merchandise. I know, they have the Double Rays Fridays every Friday during, every Friday home game during the year. Is that kind of what you're sensing in terms of just, it seems like the Rays are really leaning into that more because they realize that, like, you know, we shouldn't try to shy away from it. This is a really, really cool part of our history.
Well, I think especially like last year they did it especially because it was coming off the 25th anniversary, and I think connecting, and they still wear the Devil Ray jerseys on Friday nights. And I think that's, you know, it was popular and well liked. So you know, you go with things that are effective and work. And so, you know, that was one thing that did. And I'm kind of curious because later on this year, we'll get to see the City Connect jerseys. The Rays are one of the major league teams. I have not seen them. But you know, I've heard great things about them, and I'm, you know, I think our creative team, with the Rays does a fantastic job, at whether it's the videos they put together on social media, whether it's the marks or the designs, or any of the artwork surrounding the ballpark. It's always new and fresh and has a really sharp look. And that goes for that, the merchandise, whatever they're putting together. So, you know, for me, I just kind of, am anxious to see what they do next.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good way of putting it. I just love how they're leaning into the double rays thing more because I mean, you know, as Gibby's wearing it, I think the BP hats look great. I think New Era in Major League Baseball did a lot of great stuff with that. I think they made a lot of really, really cool designs and leaned into a lot of old school designs in ways. But I just love how they're really pushing that more. But Gibby, starting with you, I wanted to get into, since, you know, Neil, I don't want to take up too much of your time, and I don't know if you're heading out to Colorado, which means you might have to go on a flight a little bit, soon rather than later. But, I wanted to talk about the, upcoming series against the Rockies. Gibby, how are you feeling about it? Cause, the Rockies unfortunately aren't really good. they've definitely struggled in recent years, and I feel bad for Chris Bryant, even though I know he took a bag and he made out and he got his money, but I just feel bad because it seems like he's in purgatory right now.
Yeah, I mean, the Rockies have not been contenders in the last few years. You know, I don't want to put too much emphasis on, because you know, things change. Yeah. Teams that are completely unexpected make the playoffs. Orioles, San Francisco a few years ago. I mean, things can turn around easily, but you know, I'm hopeful of this series coming up. I think it's going to be I hope the Rays can play from in front. I think there's a lot of offense in these last two series, and I think that's going to die down a little bit, and we're going to be able to go a little bit slower. And obviously the first road trip of the year, so that's going to be big. And it's just important to get back on the winning train, you know. It was two out of three or one out of three against the Rangers. So, I mean, you were competitive, but trying to win, that doesn't matter. They're just trying to win. So it's good to get against the Rockies. And I think, is it going to be Tyler Alexander next game? Or Pepio?
Should be Littell.
Littell Alexander and then Pepio.
Yeah, assuming the Rays, I don't know if the Rays would use an opener in game two or not. Obviously, a lot will depend on how things go in game one. The bullpen should be fairly set if they want to go that route. At least that's what I would think. You know, nothing. I think the Rays were smart about how they use their staff. And, you know, I think in terms of the Colorado series itself, I think just going on the road, and allowing the 26 man roster to get to gel and bond away, you know, and be this, get having a West Coast trip and having it this early isn't, you know, a bad thing. I think it allows the guys more time together, on the plane. And then they're kind of away from everything for a little bit. I think that's healthy too. So, you know, and I think they all know that they're capable of better baseball than they played the first week. And hopefully they just continually get better as this month of April goes and going forward.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, is there anything specific that you're looking for in this series other than just, I guess, guys gelling, you know, getting used to back to the game, things like that?
I would say, you know, look, I'm not going to, the Rays haven't been to Colorado since 2016. So it's been 8 years, and you hear all about, you know, the impact of throwing strikes and breaking balls and the challenge of doing that in the higher elevation. I think the overall thing I'd just like to see is consistent strike throwing. I think probably four of the seven games, the Rays limited walks, and there were four games where they gave up three walks or fewer, three games where they walked seven or more. And so if you can just eliminate that, I think, A, you're limiting scoring opportunities, but B, you're also keeping your infielders and outfielders on their toes and giving them, you know, the chance to make plays. I think when you're kind of back on your heels and you're having 25, 30 pitch innings, it makes it harder on the group. And, you know, it's not an excuse. It's just a reality. So that, and just consistently better at bats as we go. But, you know, you're also not facing the same pitching. There's no knock on Colorado. There's not a Nathan Eovaldi on that roster. There's not a Chris Bassett or a Kevin Gausman that you're facing, or a Jose Berríos. You know, they're that said, I thought the three games the Rays played here against Colorado last year at Tropicana Field were extremely competitive. Tampa Bay won all three, but I think all three were either, they were either trailing or tied, or it was really close after six. And it was that last third of the game where Colorado's bullpen struggled and the Rays took advantage of it and scored a lot of runs. You know, hopefully they, you know, they can find a way to separate games a little bit earlier. They've done that in their wins so far this year. And, you know, hopefully that's the kind of play that you see.
Well, I think in terms of things for Neil, I think that's all we got. So Neil, thank you so much for coming on. First off, I want to make sure, you know, I want to give you the floor. Let people know where they can find you, not only on social media, but also, you know, for games and everything involved with that this year.
Sure. So real easy for both X, I guess, and Instagram. It's at Neil Solons, all one word. And I'll probably be posting some stuff during the course of the road trip. And then I would say, I also, there's a link on at least my, on what I've posted on X about some work I do for pancreatic cancer and raising funds for that, 'cause it's been an important personal cause, and close to my family. And then, you know, in terms of the broadcasts, they can catch our work, whether it's in Florida, you know, on the iHeart rap or MLB or SiriusXM, or, you know, they can go to racebaseball.com/radio to check out our full list of affiliates. So anywhere they are in the state of Florida, they hopefully can find a place where they can listen on the radio. So no matter how you digest us, you know, Andy and myself and Chris Adams Wall, we love being at the ballpark every day. This group is as interesting and as fun to be around as any. You know, the first week record wise wasn't what any of us hoped for, but I still think there are really good things to come this season. And I still see this as a playoff group. And I think they're just going to get better and better as we go.
Awesome. Again, Neil, thanks so much for coming on. We really, really appreciate it. Hope you enjoy Colorado. I know when I went out there last year, it was a hell of a lot of fun. I'm sure you've gotten, hopefully you've been out to Denver at least some, at some point, but should be a lot of fun this weekend for sure.
I've been to Denver before. I have not been to a game at Coors Field, so I'm very much looking forward to that. And
Coors is really, really nice. Really,
yeah.
Nice.
I've heard great things, and we're there for their home opener, so that should be a lot of fun too.
Yeah. Very, very excited for it. But again, Neil, thank you so much for coming on. We really, really appreciate it. And for everyone listening, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back in this latest episode of Razor Brief.
Hi everyone, Alex here with a quick word from our newest sponsor, SeatGeek. SeatGeek is your one-stop shop for tickets for everything from live theater and concerts to sporting events like Rays games. SeatGeek uses a color-coded scale to show you where the best deals are, with green being good and red being bad. If you haven't used SeatGeek before, we have a special deal just for you. Use code RAISETHEROOF, that's RAISE spelled R-A-Y-S, at checkout for $20 off your first purchase with SeatGeek. Again, that's code RAISETHEROOF for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Thanks so much to SeatGeek for sponsoring us, and let's get back to this latest episode of Raise the Roof.
And we're back on this latest episode of Raise the Roof. Quick advertising programming note before we continue. You guys heard our SeatGeek commercial our SeatGeek ad read during the break. We still have that going. It's $20 off your first purchase on the SeatGeek app using code RAISETHEROOF in all caps at checkout. We still have our link with In the Clutch, which is, I believe, 10% off all purchases anytime. Again, all caps, use code RAISETHEROOF at checkout. And we also have our affiliate link with 1771 Designs It's the same code, raise the roof, but the R, the T, and the R are capitalized. Everything else is lowercase. And use that for 15% off any purchase there at checkout. On this second part of the pod, we have a reoccurring guest who this is going to be us trying to get more of our group involved. So Max is back on the podcast for the first time in way too long, and we're going to be getting him on, and we're going to be getting a lot of our guys on more consistently during the year, just because I think that's a good idea. You know, that's great. We want to get more voices on here as much as, you know, me, Gibby, and Evan. So Max, how you been?
I've been pretty good. It's great to be here.
Yeah, dude, always nice to have you on. Your impressions of the first seven games of the year, how are you feeling about what you've seen so far out of the Rays?
Well, it's really early to say anything. Aaron Civale looks great, which is a good thing to see. The starting rotation in general, what's up?
He looked fantastic.
Yeah, he looks great. If he didn't get shafted in the second, what was it, the second inning he had shafted?
Yeah, I mean, he got into the log jam, but he got out of it.
Yeah.
You're talking about the home run, but
I'm talking about the bad call, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. But he got bases loaded and he got out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. Just like in general, I think it's a little too early to say much other than the starting rotation just in general is going to be looking a lot different in about 2 to 3 months, in my opinion.
Very, very true. Very, very true. Anyone specifically in the offense that you've been impressed with, or maybe guys that you're just, you know, hoping kind of get things going a little bit?
I'm hoping that Brady starts to figure it out. It seems like he's whiffing a lot on stuff. But again, it's still very early to tell necessarily.
Yeah, he did have the 3-run home run, but
yeah,
today, yeah, there was a few spots we needed him. Things just didn't land. I think he actually did have one hit. We were getting a lot of those very shallow fly balls into center field. It was that all game.
Yeah, there were just a lot of whiffs in general this series, especially against the starting pitching. I saw this stat that there was like more than 20 whiffs against each starting pitcher in this Texas series, and just for each starter, it's not good.
Yeah.
No, that's definitely not what you want moving forward, and hopefully the Rays will figure that out. But talking about this, because again, we talked about it with Neil, and thanks so much again to Neil for coming on, but you know, we did talk about the Rockies series, and I wanted to kind of go a little bit more in depth in terms of keys. You know, as we mentioned earlier, this is the first road trip of the season for the Rays. This is the first time that they've been to Colorado since God knows
2016, I believe.
It's been a while. It's been since apparently the greatest year that everyone can think of. Everyone always is like, the summer of 2016. I remember that TBT.
They literally watch one video in 2016. And they're like, this is the best year.
It's so funny how everyone's like, oh man, I remember that year. It was the best.
I remember it sucked.
There was some good things and some bad things. The Rays weren't great that year. So from a baseball standpoint, not ideal. But yeah, talking about this series, the first time that the Rays have played in an environment like this, because it's the only environment like this in baseball. Arizona's not nearly the same. It's only about 1,000 feet above sea level. This is a mile above sea level. And I'm hoping that the Rays, adjust to it pretty easily. Who knows at this point? Because we'll see how things kind of develop over the next couple of days. But if there's anything, if there's like one key from each of you as to what you want to see the Rays do this series or what's going to be needed for the Rays to be successful in the series, what is it?
Breathe. No, just kidding.
Well done. Well done. Is the A plus reporting here from Razor Roof.
I mean, they just got to put the bats together when we have runners in scoring position. We've been losing a lot of guys on the base paths. Just not getting hits when we need them, striking on like the first pitch, and just like going after whatever the first pitch is and just getting out right away. We just got to have more competitive at bats when it's in a situation with like runners in scoring position and stuff. I mean, it's nice to pounce on the first pitch sometimes if it's a good first pitch, once you're looking, if it's what you're looking for. I mean, but yeah. So just more competitive at bats from everyone. That would be nice. But I mean, Yandy had a sick at bat today where he was down 0-2, worked it all the way back, drew a walk, and that's why he's probably team MVP the last four seasons or so. He's just the best. Love Yandy Diaz, and he's gonna be one of my key players. Just wait for it,
Max.
Yeah, that at bat, that was like one of the best at bats I think I've ever seen, just in general. But in terms of keys to the series, pitching, survive. Don't completely suck. If you completely suck, it's okay because it's Colorado. But try not to suck.
It's like it's Colorado.
Come on. I think that's a good way of putting it. Definitely. Do not try to mess things up. And this is a much better opportunity for them to kind of get the ball in the air. Because I know that the Trop is like, it can be a hitter-friendly ballpark at times, but it can be a pitcher-friendly ballpark at times. And Coors Field is not pitcher-friendly at all. So would be nice to get the ball in the air, hopefully get some, get some extra feet under it and kind of go from there. In terms of our pick of players for this series, Max, starting with you, you can pick one player, you can pick a pitcher and a hitter, you can pick, I mean, it's up to you who are your key players for the series.
I'm going to just pick the power players. I think Randy's probably going to hit like some crazy bombs or something like that. I think this is going to end up being one of these games is going to be like a 12-11 final. Maybe that bullpen game where it's probably going to be Tyler Alexander or just a bunch of pitchers. But I think Randy's probably, he's going to go off.
Anyone else or just Randy?
I'll say Paredes breaks out of this little mini slump, I guess. Okay. He's been up and down.
I like it. Gibby, who you got?
So, firstly, Yandy Diaz. I mean, just gotta carry the boat. Keep carrying the boat, you know. I mean, he's just had so many good competitive at-bats. He's just the same Yandy, just better every year. Still yoked, obviously. So we love that. We love Yandy. And then my pitcher, because we're on the back end of our rotation, and it's probably Littell tomorrow. I'm gonna pick Littell just to start it off. Give me like just what you did last time. Same exact thing.
I like it.
I mean, he was spectacular last time too.
So I like it. Two good picks. One of mine is going to be a guy, and I think that we've done this a lot on the pod where like we've picked guys who kind of struggled at times and, you know, we pick them to hopefully have some bounce back outings. I'm going to pick Garrett Clevinger.
Ooh, yeah.
As my pitcher, because he was thrusted into a high leverage situation today and just did not look good. And I understand that, you know, early in the season, these things are going to happen, but I'm hoping that the Rays can find a way to slot him into some lower leverage situations and kind of get his confidence back up. And hopefully they'll have a couple of those or at least one of those in the series where he can slot into it. So hoping for that. And then also Rene Pinto. He hasn't really done that much this year. And again, we have a lot of us, especially the Rays front office, have high expectations for him, considering the guys that are currently the catching depth of this organization. It is suspect at best.
Yeah.
That's not a slight or like me being rude. It's more of just the like it's the reality of the situation. So if he can have a good series, you know, having a place like Colorado to hopefully loft the ball, get some extra base hits, possibly a home run, a couple, that hopefully that'll help build up his confidence. But again, I know that the Rays have put a lot of emphasis on him to be the next guy. And I'm hoping that what's going on right now is a lot of just like early season jitters And him just kind of getting used to him being the number one for this team behind the plate. And hopefully he'll be able to, you know, kind of right the ship there and get some things going this weekend.
Yeah, catchers typically don't have like the best starts in their, to their careers ever. I mean, a lot of Hall of Fame catchers weren't like immediately effective as soon as they touched, as soon as they graced the baseball field. I mean, it's just at the end of the day, it's the hardest defensive position other than maybe pitcher, like injury wise. But like catcher, there's so many like technicalities and all this stuff. I mean, he's doing well defensively, I believe. He's at least doing good throws to second, you know, pretty timely within like the catching standard. So I mean, I'm just I think he was hitting, he was at like 300 today, and then obviously he fell to like 230 by the end of it. But yeah, I mean, he's been getting some hits, but just not very timely hits or with much effect. So I'm excited to see what he does going forward. But Ben Rortvedt, or is that how you say his name?
Yeah, I did.
Rortvedt. He's been doing pretty well himself. I mean, some competitive at bats today. I think he had a hit today, I believe. So yeah, I think we're pretty good at the catcher position, and I would like to see Rene Pinto unlock himself as well.
Yeah, they're gonna give him time to like develop and stuff, but yeah, it just seems really weird with the Rays because whenever they go outside and get a like a decently high caliber catcher, they kind of go nuts because they've had two all-stars at catcher in the past like what 7 or 8 years, and both of them did not go up to the system.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good way of putting it. That's an understatement, to be honest.
It was Wilson Zunino.
Yeah, that was Ramos in 18 and then Zunino in 21, which was in Colorado, funny enough.
Yeah.
So, circling it back to Colorado. Anything of interest going on in the baseball world so far this year? I know the Marlins have been abysmal. I know the Pirates are apparently the greatest team in baseball. I know Ohtani still hasn't hit a home run yet, so Lord knows if he's betting on himself to not hit home runs. What other things? Any other things of note that I'm missing that we want to go
into
a little bit more detail about?
That's Bryce, basically it.
Bryce Harper was on an over for the first few games, and they had a three-homer night, so I guess that's
Has
done.
Anthony Rendon gotten a hit yet?
No, that's...
He hasn't?
Actually,
I don't think so. Let me go check this. Does he have a hit?
Fuck, dude. I want him to be successful.
No, he's still got no hits this year.
I actually, you know, I respect his take about 162 being too much. I respect the take.
I mean, there's a lot of things that I don't respect about Anthony Rendon, not going to lie.
But that is something I do respect. I did respect that quote. You know, you just told it like it is. It's too much.
Maybe the take itself isn't coming from the best place in the world because it's Anthony Rendon.
Exactly.
But it's coming because he's lazy. He's the laziest shit. But like he's spitting.
Yeah, he is spitting. This is
crazy. Just looking at like his ability to not stay healthy with the Angels. Other than the COVID year, which he played 52 of 60 games, he hasn't played more than 58 games in a year since that point.
Jesus.
Which is, what is that? That's basically like he hasn't even played a third of the games in a season.
Does Trout even know him?
But yeah, that's not good.
So do they even know each other at this point?
Honestly, I don't. This is just really, really bad. This is like when
they're 4-2.
Because
the Marlins are bad.
They played the Marlins.
But still.
I know, but the Marlins are bad.
Yeah, they look bad early on. Yeah. They might not. I don't know. It is an understatement how bad they look. I mean, the A's look terrible. They had like
eight
errors
in the A's.
Game. But that's expected. They also had that one thing, like in the stadium, where they're like, don't, rooted in Oakland, don't. Anything with Oakland on it, don't sell.
Oh
yeah,
yeah,
like straight up, do not let people bring it
don't,
in.
Don't sell, don't bring yeah. it in, bro.
Man, the Athletics are digging themselves a hole,
and they're setting down guys for wearing wristbands. That's another.
We
theory.
Don't know if that's true.
Hey, I'm just saying it sounds plausible. He went 3 for 5, and you guys sit down. I don't know, man.
It's a conspiracy theory that has some weight to it.
It has some weight, just a little bit. I don't know.
It is absolutely wild. I'm trying to think. Oh, the whatever that downtown stadium that the Royals were trying to get was shot down. Whatever, additional tax funding that they were trying to get got shot down by Jackson County.
Yeah, it was some kind of penny tax that was going to work for the Chiefs and Royals. It got shot down. It was like 30% of a penny or something like that.
Yeah, they were like, they're like, if you could give Patrick Mahomes $500 million for a contract, then you guys can afford to build your own stadiums on your own time.
Right.
Yeah, that makes enough sense to me. I'm trying to think. The Orioles just had another walk-off.
James McCann.
Yeah, yeah. They also had like a 5-hour delay from what I heard.
Oh, they're also playing the Royals. So good.
Yeah, and then the Phillies so had good. The Phillies had a lengthy delay against the Reds, and there was like a really, really weird conspiracy or something thrown out to where apparently someone thought that there was a wedding scheduled at Citizens Bank Park tomorrow where like they couldn't use the stadium. So they had to get in the game today. And then the literal Citizens Bank Park Twitter account was like, there's no wedding scheduled for tomorrow.
I saw that tweet earlier too. I thought it was true.
So weird. God.
Thank God.
Yeah, it was like it's like the Blue Jays thing.
See, that's the power of misinformation. Us, the Blue Jays. That's the power of misinformation, because I thought that was real up until this point.
Yeah, I'm
but
trying to find
it. I had kind of already forgotten about it.
Honestly. Oh, what was it? The thing from the Mariners about the whole the jersey situation, whatever.
They didn't get sent like a certain uniform.
Yeah. So someone said no Sunday creams, meaning their Sunday cream uniform, and then the literal Mariners Twitter account responded and said, they haven't been delivered yet, but they are still in the rotation. We will plan to wear them this season, or we still plan.
Embarrassing. Embarrassing. You should be ashamed, Fanatics. You're supposed to be like, they're supposed to be like the fast. We make it right there. We send it to you. Like that was their point. That was the point of their business. And they can't even have these jerseys ready by opening day. Like their entire point is to be like this trash making company that can just deliver shit out at a moment's notice. Like as soon as there's a Super Bowl champion, they have a fucking shirt, it's ready, it's being fucking printed, it's ready to go. Like, and they can't they can't get a fucking major league professional baseball team their fucking jerseys in time. It's ridiculous. Fuck Fanatics, fuck you.
I know people talked about the jerseys already, but I swear to God, today I was watching the game, and anytime a player turned their back, I just saw how small the letters were. It just still throws me off.
It did. I watched the Rangers today. It was terrible. I couldn't even see Wyatt Langford's name, dude. I can't even fucking see it. Like, I'm like, who is that? I'm like, who? Like, the old letters, I would fucking see the entire – it's 3 inches taller, and you can actually see it. It's –
you preach it to the choir.
I'm also dyslexic, and Fanatics is super ableist for this, dude. Like, I can't see shit on the baseball field now. I can't read anyone's name. I have to sit way closer.
Who would have known?
Fuck you. Fuck them.
Who would have known? Fanatics is public enemy number one
I'm pretty much their number one whale. I mean, you can tell by my room, this is probably all delivered by those bastards. That jersey is a Fanatics jersey, the Lightning one.
Oh, that's
sorry.
A shame.
Sorry, listeners.
Are the patches coming off of that yet?
Huh?
Or have the patches started peeling off of that yet?
No, actually, I don't wear it that much though.
Oh, okay.
So we'll see. Yeah.
It's not the best vibe. The vibes are
the vibes from Fanatics. Fuck you.
That's the vibe. The vibe is fuck you.
But that's the vibe from them, so I'm giving that vibe right back, dude.
They don't give a fuck.
They've taken over their little monopoly, and I won't fucking have it. Buy 1771 clothing.
Or in the clutch. Yes, both of them. Really, really quality designs.
Maybe it's not licensed. It's not like MLB license, but you know, it's your favorite player license.
Give them you guys will save money and the designs are great. we do not deny that. To end this podcast, because we will be putting this out before the women's and men's Final Fours for college basketball, I wanted to get everyone's thoughts and everyone's picks for who is going to continue on through the the teams who are going to get to the Natty, and then the team who wins the Natty. Who do we have?
So, in men's, UConn Huskies. Sorry. But I think NC State's going to beat Purdue. Bold take, but
that ain't bold. Purdue always embarrasses themselves. So
exactly. I mean, they've lost before, you know.
Yeah.
We don't want to talk about it. We could talk about didn't they lose to a 16 seed?
Yes, last year.
Yes, they did do that last year. Yeah. That's nothing further. And then women's basketball. Oh man, that's a lot of good teams, dude. Women's basketball has been the better basketball this year. Just saying. It's been really good. Shit. My brain tells me South Carolina, but my heart tells me Iowa. So go Hawkeyes. Let's do that. I can't hear you, Alex, if you're saying anything. Oh, never mind.
Oh, I, just to be funny, for men's, I'll pick the 11th seed to win it all. Just because
do both NC State. That would be hilarious.
I'll do both. Well, the thing is, I don't want Alabama to win because even though I have no stake in basketball, it's still Alabama.
It's Alabama.
Fuck them. And like, I still think it'd be funny if the 11th seed won it all because it never happens. Why not? I'll do double NC State.
Yo, let's go. Wolfpack.
Literal pack.
But I do think they're going to win. They're going to win on Saturday. For sure. Alex, we can't hear you.
Smoking that Wolfpack.
Sorry, guys.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah,
yes.
There you are. Okay, cool. What the hell was that? I was trying to say, because I forgot who won the USC. I think USC played UConn in the Elite Eight, and then UConn won, right? Am I going crazy?
Well, UConn won either way. Let me see.
Yeah. I know this. So it's UConn, Iowa, NC State, South Carolina, and the women's, and then the men's is UConn, Bama, NC State, Purdue.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I've at least remembered things, which is good. I'm gonna go. Well, there is a bit of a hitch in the UConn men's basketball plans because they were supposed to take off on a flight a couple hours ago today. And they still haven't taken off to Phoenix. They're the only team that's not there right now because of plane issues and weather and stuff like that.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. I need to figure out. So what is this? It was supposed to take off at 6 Eastern. Logistical mechanical issues with the plane coming in from Kansas City for significant delays. There is an option to get a smaller plane out of Cincinnati that won't take off until 12:45 a.m., and won't land until 5 a.m. Eastern or 2 a.m. Pacific because they need to take a fuel stop in the middle.
Oh my God.
Yep.
And then they got to play basketball 24 hours from then.
Wait, hold up. Latest. We have a latest. A smaller plane is currently scheduled to arrive from Cincinnati a little after 11 Eastern. UConn's had to trim its travel party, but will still be a flight time decision as far as refueling. It's going to come down to weight.
Raise the roof, sudden updates right there.
Yes. This is from Matt Norlander, who's a senior writer for CBS Sports. That was 9 minutes ago.
At 11 now?
11 Eastern, 11 p.m. Eastern is when it's supposed to take off, and we don't know when it's supposed to land or if they're supposed to refuel. But it could be a good situation if they get in at a certain point, but who knows at this point. In terms of people that I'm going to pick, I still think UConn's good enough to win, even with all this flight fiasco crap. Hopefully they'll get guys who, what's it called? They'll get guys, you know, guys will get some sleep and things like that, but I'm still going to pick them. I'm going to chalk it up as much as possible. I got UConn in the men and South Carolina in the women's because I haven't been convinced any other way. South Carolina's a wagon.
Caitlin Clark, it's the legend.
I understand Caitlin Clark.
It's the legend.
No, I'm taking South. No, I'm going chalk.
It's Muad'Dib. That's Lasan Al-Ghaib right there.
Caitlin Clark is stupid. She's hitting shots that are crazy stupid. So yeah. I'm probably going to be wrong with both of these, but I'm just going to pick chalk because I don't know what else to pick. Yeah, final thing before we go, because I'm continuing to make fun of it, and Lord knows things haven't changed. Jay Cuda just put this out. If you guys don't follow Jay Cuda on Twitter, he's a fantastic follow. Go follow him. The Rays have the third least amount of mentions from the official MLB account since opening day. They're tied with the Giants in Seattle, only Houston, the White Sox, the A's, the Rockies, and the Nationals are lower than them.
You know what's crazy in that pack? Why Houston is so low?
It's because
they've been awful.
They have been pretty bad. I mean, yeah. They got swept by New York, didn't they?
Now, the other thing, guess who's got the most?
Who's got the most?
Well, I said guess.
Baltimore.
No.
I know who it is. Who? I know who it is.
Who?
Well, I actually looked at it, Alex. I don't want to
oh, fuck you, it. Man.
I didn't know. I was already looking at the profile.
The Yankees. The Yankies have the most.
It's the Yankees.
Yankees have 18, Dodgers have 14, and then the next closest team has 9.
Yeah, I mean, that just proves
the glazing continues.
You can have all the superstars you want, Dodgers, but they still won't glaze you as much as they do the Judgy and the boys. You'll never compare the Judgy and the boys.
That's terrible.
You'll never compare the
boys.
I don't know. Well,
and the boys.
I think with that being said, it's going to conclude things in this latest episode. Max, thanks so much for coming on. Where can people find you out on social media?
You can find me on... I'm not really using Twitter anymore. You can find me on Discord.
Be sure to go on Discord. Go on the Defended Trop server and interact with Max and everyone else there. Yeah, thank you guys, as always, for your support. We really appreciate it. We are so close to 7,000 followers, which is awesome. Hopefully we can hit 10K by the end of the season. I think we can definitely do it, and we'll have plenty of giveaways for you guys coming out throughout the year. If you guys want to follow us on social media, it's Raise the Roof TV on both Twitter and Instagram. We're almost at 1,000 followers on Instagram too, so really growing there. For the podcast, continue to support us as you guys have been. Make sure to follow us, subscribe, leave us a like, leave us a review. Hopefully it's a 5-star review. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, all that good stuff. Make sure to follow us on all of those and listen as new episodes come out. And we'll be having plenty of new guests come on. Familiar faces, people like Max, people like Neil, and also some new faces within the baseball community. And within our own Raise the Roof community will be coming on over the course of the year. So stay tuned for that. So with that being said, thanks so much for listening. And as always, raise up.
Raise up, baby.
Raise up.